Excited to get into this time with you, this sermon series, Messiah Strong. I really love the idea of us exploring the blessings of being a family that God has called together. And I'm today to take a part of this and to look at God's amazing design for us is where I'm really going to focus. It's about relationships. Relationship first with Him, of course, but also relationships with each other. Now, I also know that when we dig into the topic of relationships, that can stir some difficult emotions or maybe some pain and those kinds of things in your life. But I want to assure you that wherever there is discomfort, wherever we encounter pain, God provides a cure. And we're going to talk about that today as well. But I would like to begin by going to God in prayer, if you'll join me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together here in this place, and for those joining us again online. We are united in worship, and Lord, we are united in you. And I ask, Lord, that not only will you grow us closer to you, but grow us closer to one another. As we navigate this world, as we navigate this life, we need each other, and you've designed us to be in relationship. And so, Heavenly Father, bless us. Move powerfully in us today, and grow us as your people. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to start today by sharing with you a story I heard a long time ago. It's a story about a member of a certain church, and this guy previously had always attended worship every Sunday, and then all of a sudden, he stopped going. After a few weeks, the pastor goes out to visit him, and it's a chilly evening, and so the pastor goes to his house. He finds the man, he's home alone, and he's sitting in front of a roaring fire in the house. Now, the guy, guessing the reason for the pastor's visit, he welcomes him in, and he says, come sit with me by the fire. The pastor made himself comfortable, but he said nothing, no words. In the grave silence, they both just sat there in the silence, looking at the flames in the fireplace, the logs that were on fire. And after this awkward silence had lasted for a while, the pastor stood up and he took the tongs by the fireplace and grabbed one glowing ember from in the middle of the fire, and he set it off all by itself on the hearth off to the side. The man watched this with quiet fascination. And as the lone ember sitting there by itself, the flame started to diminish and there was a momentary glow, and then it went out completely. And soon it was cold, dead as a doornail. Still, not a word had been spoken after their initial greeting at the door, and the pastor stood up now to leave. But as he's getting ready to leave, just before he walks out, he stands up and he grabs the tongs and grabs that coal that had gone out and put it right back into the midst of the fire. And immediately, from the flames around it, it glowed once again and caught fire. And as the pastor reached the door, the man spoke up. Pastor, thank you so much for your visit, and especially for the fiery sermon. I'll see you this Sunday. See, my friends, the Christian life is not intended to be a solo journey. We are never meant to go it alone. Even Jesus, think about his life. Even Jesus, though he took time for solitude, he also needed his disciples around him. He needed the believers around him. Think about it. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he's arrested and he's praying, what is Jesus struggling with as his disciples fall asleep? He's struggling with loneliness. He needed their comfort. He needed their strength. And so loneliness is tough. Did you know that our mental and medical experts today consider loneliness as an epidemic? To prepare for this time today, I was doing some research online on loneliness, and there was more articles and studies that I could ever get through, but as I kind of poured through some of them, what became very obvious was a statistic that roughly 23% of people worldwide, not just in the U.S., but worldwide, report that they struggle with loneliness on an almost day-to-day basis. And for those who reported it, they also reported that they often experience with loneliness feelings of physical pain, of worrying, sadness, anger. What's interesting too was in these studies that people could be surrounded by people. They could be in the middle of large crowds and still feel lonely if they didn't have real, deep, and authentic relationships. So I dug a little deeper. And there was a poll done this year by the American Psychiatric Association that might have some interesting things that you might, or some facts that you might find interesting, but again, some people might find it a little tough. But on the topic of loneliness, single adults are nearly twice as likely as married adults to feel lonely on a weekly basis. About 50% of respondents ease their loneliness with distractions like TV, podcasts, or social media. Another 41% said they go for a walk to feel less lonely, while 38% said they reach out to family and friends. I thought that was interesting. I'd rather go for a walk than reach out to family and friends. 13% said they use drugs or alcohol to ease their loneliness, with adults 18 to 34 more likely to do that than those 45 to 64. On the positive side, respondents said their highest sense of community and belonging comes from being among family, there's family again, friends, neighbors, but the least helpful places to feel less lonely were online communities and discussion forums, sports and recreational teams, and gym or fitness classes. Let me just finish this part of it with one more from an article through Harvard. This came out even before the pandemic. Loneliness was a major public health concern in the United States. So then the U.S. Surgeon General has published an urgent advisory about the loneliness epidemic, proposing a national strategy to advance social connection in the country. Now, I'm just going to ask some. This is a safe place, and you can only respond if you're comfortable doing this, but I'm just curious if you'd be willing to respond to this. Have you ever, I'm talking about ever in your life, and I'm not talking about just being alone, like with no one else around you, but have you ever experienced real loneliness? If you feel comfortable raising your hand, has anybody ever felt any time in your life? Okay. Now, I'll put your hands down. This one I just want you to think about. How about in the last month? Last week? Or yesterday? You see, my friends, loneliness is one of the results of the fall into sin. And it touches each and every one of our lives in some way, shape, or form. But here's the thing. We don't need a national strategy from the U.S. Surgeon General. You see, our loving God and Father put the strategy in place right after this world, this perfect creation, was messed up by sin. Now, what is God's cure, or what's his strategy for this epidemic of loneliness? Well, look around you. You're sitting in the midst of it right now. You see, God calls us. He gathers us. He unifies us as his family. It's how we were designed. Gathering and connecting with each other as followers of Jesus Christ isn't a side benefit to being a Christian. It's an essential ingredient. I love how Paul David Tripp, we tend to quote him a lot in his devotion, New Morning Mercies, from August 19th. He says this: We are not designed to live the Christian life on our own. The reason God calls us to this high quality of relationships is because relationships are an irreplaceable tool in his redemptive hands. What this means for us is that faith in Jesus is fundamentally relational. The creator of the heavens and the earth, he wired you up deep into the core of the very atoms that make up who you see in the mirror every morning to be in community, obviously first with him, but also with each other. And I'll tell you though something, if that's how God designed us, if that's how he designed us to be connected to each other, we must also be very aware that the enemy, that Satan, is working to disconnect us. He's working to prevent real relationships and to separate us so he can overwhelm us with isolation and loneliness. Again, from those studies, when we are experiencing isolation and loneliness, we feel angry, we feel hurt, all of those things. And when we feel that way, Satan does his best to convince us that we are not holy and dearly loved by the Father. or by one another. And he can separate us out like that ember taken out of the fire, and we can grow cold inside. But when we're connected, here's the beautiful part of it. When we're connected and growing not only closer to God, but also closer to each other, we become a roaring fire that Satan cannot extinguish. When we are deeply connected, we can face the trials of life more bravely as we love for and care for and support one another when we're overwhelmed. I got to share a favorite example of mine when this happened in real life, and it happened a number of years ago. Some of you here will even remember this. One of our dear members here, his name was Brad, who is now in heaven, had been diagnosed with brain cancer, and he had been admitted to the hospital and prepped for major surgery. And I got the call, and I headed over to the hospital to see Brad and pray with him before that surgery. And as I walked down the hallway of the hospital, down that corridor, as I got closer to his door, I started to hear muffled voices, lots of them, in the room. And so I walk up, and I just kind of tapped on the door, and then right, you can tell when it's right inside the door, there was noise and stuff, and the door opened really, really slowly. And the room was full. Not just his immediate family, but members of Brad's life group were there. Men from the men's ministry here were in that room. Everyone was gathered around his bed and they were praying. There was zero room for me in the room. I literally couldn't get in. Now, as a pastor who often takes lead in a moment like that, at first I felt useless. I felt like I wasn't doing my job. But then it struck me. This is exactly what being a family is all about. I wasn't useless. I was just part of the family that day, and it was beautiful. So I just stood in the doorway, and I listened, and I prayed with them. My friends, we were created for connections with one another. So again, the bottom line is that being in a community together as followers of Jesus is not just a lifestyle option. It's essential to who we are and whose we are. We are sons and daughters of the King. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are, in every sense of the word, family. And these relationships are critical. In fact, this thought just came to me when I was preparing for today, is that relationships are critical to the dash between the dates on your headstone someday. Think about that. They're life-defining. They are heart-transforming. Because you and I know the reality. Life in this broken world is difficult. Relationships and being family are also often difficult and messy. They require intentionality and vulnerability and investment of time and energy. But there is no substitute for the beauty and blessing, for the hope and the encouragement, for the joy and the peace we experience when we live by God's design. As one family, joined in Jesus. In fact, that's one of the beautiful things about the reading from Paul that we heard Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. They're celebrating this unity of being a family. Let me give you just a little bit of backdrop. You see, after helping establish this small congregation in Thessalonica, Paul is driven out of the town by an angry mob. You can read about it in Acts chapter 17. But then the Thessalonians, the people, were still on Paul's heart and mind. And then he gets this wonderful report from Timothy about this, the enthusiasm of this beautiful, unified, loving family of believers. And so Paul writes these letters as an encouragement. I want you to stand strong together despite the pressures and the persecution you face. In fact, again, we heard Jim read this, but he says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Look at those words: faith, love, hope. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit that he pours into our fellowship. And they are gifts that last when everything else in the world is fleeting. Faith, love, and hope. Those are cultivated best within Christian community. And that's why I love this beautiful family called Messiah. Are we perfect? No. Are we family? Absolutely. But in a large church like this, we also need to gather in smaller communities where we can build close relationships in order to love and encourage and to pray with each other, serve one another, grow together, and that we can do life together with all its joys and challenges. And that's why, again, I'm so excited. Pastor Andy mentioned at the beginning of the service, focused on rolling out our continued push for people to get into life groups here at Messiah. And here's why this is important. Let me just be honest with you. As one of your pastors, I struggle with this a lot. Not life groups, but what I'm getting ready to tell you. I know that I have missed so many opportunities to walk with you, some of you, to pray with some of you, to encourage some of you in difficult trials that you've faced. It breaks my heart that over the years, there have even been frustrations that a pastor, one of us, couldn't be there, or we missed a difficult moment. My friends, even if this church were just a church of 300 instead of 3,300, we pastors can't, and I would even say shouldn't be, the sole source of spiritual care for this amazing family. Even if we had a team of 50 pastors, we could not be with every single person through every time of need. We need each other. That's how God designed the church. Look at the end of Acts chapter 2. The people gathered together. They gathered around the word. They gathered around the Lord's Supper. They gathered to serve each other with glad and generous hearts. See, my friends, that's what Paul's talking about in that one verse from chapter 2 that Jim read for us. It's the anchor verse for our life groups here at Messiah. And Paul's reflecting on the joy of being family. And he says this, he says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." I mean, look at how God works. In loving community. Paul loved these people so much so that he and Silvanus and Timothy, his partners with him, they were not only willing to share the amazing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which was their main mission, but they desired to give of themselves selflessly. But my friends, that's what happens when we invest in each other. When we love one another, when we build strong and vibrant communities and families on the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we get to show up for each other. We get to walk with each other, and just like that day for Brad in the hospital. And the beauty of it, it's a joy. It's not a burden. This is so critical for us here at Messiah. And because of that, I want every single person here, single, married, family, whatever. I want every single person, whether you're a member of Messiah or you're a guest of Messiah, doesn't matter. I want everyone to know that you are invited. And I want you to prayerfully consider joining a life group, not because it's a church function. Please don't hear that. It's because you are in God's family, chosen by Him by name, set apart as sons and daughters, and we need each other. And to be clear, please hear this too, life groups are not the only way for us to get connected within God's family. I'm not up here saying that in order to be a good Christian, you need to be in a life group. I will say if you want a better place in heaven, you might want to consider, no, I'm just kidding. But I do honestly mean, I want everyone to know you're invited, because I believe that a life group is one of the very best ways to live in community with fellow believers. They're just structured that way. But friends, you don't have to be lonely to join a life group or even on the verge of it. Yeah, joining a life group is one of those ways that those authentic relationships are built where it helps resolve loneliness, it helps us connect with one another, it helps us support each other. But you know what? Being a part of a group also means it heightens our joy. It increases our peace. It strengthens our faith together. Here's one last thing as we get ready to close this up. But there's one thing about being a family, and this goes beyond life groups, so we're going to put that aside for a second. This is about us being a family. Being connected as a family is more than just about you and I here today. how we invest in one another will impact the generations that follow us. If we don't see being in real and authentic, genuine relationships within the body of Christ, if we don't see that as important, guess what? Our kids, our grandkids, then you can go out from there, neighbors, coworkers, friends, they won't see the importance of it either. And most likely they'll just continue down that road of being disconnected. And remember, Satan is often winning the battle of isolation. The epidemic of loneliness is growing. We see people, especially our young people, who feel like, I mean, they've never been more connected electronically, but more disconnected relationally. They feel that friends and followers are the same as real, press-the-flesh, in-person relationships. They feel like those are the same. And it's like, no. We need to build genuine relationships. And again, that's why I'm so thankful for our Messiah family. I'm thankful that God has called us together to love one another, to navigate this life together, to support and pray for each other. Again, if you look around, you're sitting in the midst of God's remedy for loneliness. My friends, I pray that God will stir in each of our hearts a pure desire to be in real and genuine relationships built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, and that he will pour blessings upon you and me as we do life together, and as we wait for that day Jesus will return and we'll be with him forever in heaven. You see, because built on Jesus, Messiah is strong. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.